the reason why the priest wears rose vestments today is because the church is anticipating the arrival of Christ on Christmas Day with joy. And just as the Israelites in the Old Testament must have been consoled when they heard the prophets speak about the future Messiah, so does the church rejoice as she relives these years of anticipation of the world. Advent commemorates that time of humanity, a full 4,000 years, which is twice the time from now until the Roman Empire, twice that time, when there was no Savior, when there was no Blessed Sacrament, no sacrament of penance, no sacrament of the dying, extramunction, and other consolations that we have, no holy sacrifice of the Mass. We take these things for granted, but there was a time in humanity when there was only the law and the sacrifice of animals. And to a great extent, you had to hope for the best. And in the Old Testament, the people had really only the promises made to Abraham as their light and their hope. But today the church rejoices because the Lord is near. This joy of the church is more than merely a historical commemoration of the birth of Christ. Rather, it has a spiritual and mystical sense. For in this life, our true Christmas will be a holy death in which we will be united to God by means of the beatific vision. This will be the ultimate possession of God and the ultimate joy. But before that time of anticipated joy, there is a time of possessing God here through the state of sanctifying grace. In a very real sense, the Lord is near to us, and His nearness gives joy to our hearts, just as the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the Messiah gave consolation to those who awaited Him. So God is truly present in our souls and is a source of joy to us who await Him in heaven. That is the interior peace and joy which the world cannot give. If someone invented a gadget, for example, and you merely pointed the gadget at a room and pressed the button, and all of the whole room was, in a minute, vacuumed, and everything was put in place, the room was dusted. In just an instant, everything was in order and clean. Such a gadget would be the most popular thing in the world. But this is what sanctifying grace does to the soul. When it is infused, it puts everything in order. It restores peace. It gives joy because the soul is right with God. So just as there was joy in the hearts of the shepherds and the magi, when they went to see the Christ child, so we have joy by a possession of God in this life. The soul experiences joy when it possesses spiritual goods. It cannot be satisfied by a material thing. The soul does not long for food or drink or comfortable furniture or glitter or nice clothing, diamonds, jewelry. It has no interest in those things. The soul delights in justice, in charity, mercy, kindness, fortitude, and other spiritual goods which money cannot buy. For this reason, our divorce rate in this country, and in other countries as well, but especially here, is very high, for the very reason that couples can buy material things with unprecedented ease because of the prosperity that has come to this country, really, since World War II. And as much as we might complain about the economy today, things are going very, very well in comparison to the way your ancestors lived before the war, or say 100 years ago. And because they become easily attached to their possessions, they become unhappy and they break up. They lack the basic spiritual goods. Furthermore, in many cases, their relationships are based almost completely on the flesh, and their souls are starved for even the most basic spiritual joys of human friendship. The soul is blind to material pleasures and fleshly pleasures and craves the spiritual goods which I spoke about. And the reason for this is that God made the soul for himself, and it will not rest until it finds God. That's what St. Augustine said. Our hearts were made for thee, and they will not rest until they find thee. And thus, in this life, the possession of God through sanctifying grace is the greatest of all joys, and it cannot be purchased by any human price. It is given to us by God in baptism. It is restored to us by God in the sacrament of penance. We may merit an increase of sanctifying grace by good works, but not any human money, no human goods are capable of obtaining this interior joy and peace which the state of sanctifying grace brings. For when God comes and takes up his abode in the soul, he orders the soul profoundly and gives it peace, which is the peace which the world cannot give. And when this possession of the soul by God is perfect, joy and peace is perfect. In fact, it cannot be taken away by any worldly tribulation. And that is not to say that those who are in the state of sanctifying grace cannot suffer. It is not to say that they will never have a bad day or that they will never feel sad. For example, when they lose a loved one to death or when other problems come into their lives, it is not to say that. It is to say, however, that nothing can disturb this interior peace. For as long as sanctifying grace is there and God is in the soul, nothing can take that away, just as nothing can buy it. So no human being and no tribulation of this world can come and take it away. That is why, for example, when the sisters of Compiègne in France were condemned to death during the French Revolution, they went to their death singing the Salve Regina as they went up the stairs of the guillotine, the scaffold, singing the Salve Regina, and an eyewitness said they looked like brides going to their weddings. Because nothing, not even the bloody guillotine, can disturb the interior peace of those who possess God. Look at our Lord in his sacred passion. In his human nature, in his human intellect, he had the beatific vision. And so he had the most perfect possession of God that is possible. On the cross, therefore, he had the interior possession of God. And even though he went through indescribable physical and emotional sufferings, he still remained at peace and joy with God in his human nature. The same could be said for Our Lady. She did not have the beatific vision at that time, but her life of grace was so intense that her interior joy could not be disturbed even by the horrific sufferings of Calvary. And in a similar way, the martyrs went to their death. And it was not their deaths that converted people, because people in those times were used to violent deaths. It was their interior peace during their deaths that converted pagan Rome. That was something that had never been seen before, that these people whom they were putting to death possessed something. They had something. They had something from another world, which human beings cannot by themselves obtain. But someone might say, I lead a good life. I think that I am in the state of sanctifying grace, yet I am often troubled and sad. If that's true, then the reason is that you have worldly attachments. For where the world is, there will also be sadness. For the spiritual joys which the world affords are so impoverished and fleeting that the soul only knows momentary happiness and seeks constantly to be filled by another happiness. This is true, for example, when people become too attached to other people, to your friends, to your spouse, no matter how good they are, and no matter how much virtue they have, or whatever you can say good about them, they are human beings, and they fall down, they fail, they commit sins, they have selfishness. They do things that are wrong. And they fail you just as you fail them. And that gives you unhappiness if you are excessively attached to them. If you are going to them for a happiness that they cannot give you. And the same is true of any other material thing. Created thing. If you are looking to it for a happiness that it cannot give you, it will fail you, it will destroy your expectations, and you will become sad. What you obtain from a created thing is so ephemeral that it could be compared to going to a party that quickly comes to an end. You enjoy it for a time, but after a while, it's time to go home. And so also the material and created things of this life, even human beings, no matter how good they are, cannot give you the happiness that God, who is always present and always faithful, will give you. So if you have sadness, it is either because you are or because you desire illicit pleasures, or you desire material things too much, or because you live for human respect, or because you love your human relationships too much, or perhaps more than you love God, or you like food too much. In other words, you are trying to fill your heart, which is made for God, with the insipid and empty distractions of this world. And yes, you will find sadness, and at times bitter sadness, for these desires can only meet up with fulfillments, which assuredly and quickly will fail you. In order to discover the interior peace and joy of Christmas, therefore, which we anticipate today with the subdued joy of Gaudete Sunday, the thing to do is to become more detached from this world and more attached to God. If you are in the state of mortal sin, then now is the time to be sorry for your sins and to confess. Even the hope of forgiveness in the sacrament should give you interior joy. And if you lead a good life, and if you are virtually certain that you are in the state of sanctifying grace, then ask for the grace to become more detached from worldly things so that your love may be perfect and your joy may be full. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.